You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guests are Andrew Foss and Laura Walker, who most know as the creators of the Daily Oracle Report. When Andrew discovered Laura Walker's Oracle Report from Jean Haynes' excellent blog, he asked Laura if it could be shared on Facebook. It was spun off into its own group on Facebook due to popularity, and to the amazement of both, reached 1,000 members. I think that was in 2011 or 2012. Today, they are at the 8,700 mark and rising. Andrew works extensively with Laura on website design and development and manages the Facebook group. The monthly new moon phone calls began, and 2015 brought the community called the Parliament of the Wise Owls. Laura uses the Sabian symbols of astrology and has two free ebooks available to download on her site, which is www.oraclereport.com. And they're called The Astrology of the Black Moon and Eris, Archetype of Shadows, Crisis, and Awakening. These are timely because we seem to be going through that process as a collective right now. Laura's work at oraclereport.com focuses on forwarding the spiritual renaissance that is underway while monitoring and analyzing the collapsing control paradigm's attempts to maintain dominance over humanity using astrologically timed rituals. Her work includes the study of the ancient Gnostic teachings. So let's welcome them both to the show now. Hi, Andrew and Laura. How are you?
Hello, Lance. Nice to be with you tonight. And actually, in your introduction, I was interested, as you said, growing the Facebook group to 1,000 members. Actually, when we hit 1,000 members, it was on that was December 21st, 2012. It was kind of a neat thing that happened all at once.
Wow, that seems very synchronistic.
It worked that way, and we were pretty excited when it happened.
And Laura, you're here too. How are you doing?
Hi, Lance. I'm so happy to be with you again here to talk with you and Andrew tonight.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you. You know, we were talking about this before the show that we did a show together about 4, 5, or 6 years ago, I think. And I check in every day on Facebook to read the Oracle Report and then to share it on my newsfeed. So I feel like I've never lost touch with you. So it's such a wonderful, energetic report.
Well, thank you. And it is really my way of, I guess, connecting with all of the Parliament of Wise Owls, as I call the readers of Oracle Report. It's my daily check-in. And unfortunately, the downside of Oracle Report growing so much has been the fact that I haven't been able to be as interactive with everyone as I would want to. So Andrew's been so wonderful about that and keeping a nice cohesion going and helping me, because we're pretty much a shoestring budget, a grassroots kind of little operation. Andrew's pretty much volunteer. And it's just been really lovely to watch it grow.
Well, yes, and I've seen some wonderful, and there's some wonderful other posts too that have been attracted to the wonderful high frequency of your group. So, I just congratulate you on doing such a wonderful job of, you know, really providing some guidance on a daily basis. That's not simplistic. It's not generic. And it really feels like it's well thought out and covers a broad array of different modalities. Again, Laura, you've been involved with the Gnostic teachings and other spiritual teachings as well. So, and you use astrology. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, or would you like to get into the energetics that are occurring right now?
Sure, I could talk a little bit about that. Yes, it is a mishmash of my knowledge and instruction specifically from guides that teach me, the wisdom goddesses known as the Mahavidyas. They are the aspects of Gaya Sabhaya that are interactive with humanity. And many years ago, they charged me with a mission to bring some light, to bring some spirituality and from their perspective. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It has not been easy. I've moved 9 times in 10 years. I counted today. I'm in the midst of another one. I have lost everything and I've gained everything with the Oracle Report. And the best thing about it is that the people that it draws and the people that I get to talk to, I always say I'm just the luckiest person because I just talk to the most interesting people.
Yeah. I feel that way too. You know, I get to talk to you guys, and you know, I mean, it's fortunately I do this gratis, so it's basically a hobby that I started about 10 years ago, and it's just been such a godsend because I love all my guests, I love talking to them, and I love learning. So you know, but it requires an open mind, as we all know. And on Facebook, we can see that some people are better at that than others.
And I've got to say that, you know, since getting involved with the Oracle Report, I think that I've just been amazed at how many people want to engage in what she has to say. You know, Laura has done many, many interviews, and we've done our online talks from time to time. But I think that people all along really wanted to, you know, create this connection, and Facebook is the natural place to do it. Just because there are people talking right there. You know, I'm continually amazed every day at people joining the group and wanting to take part in the conversations. And, you know, the things that Laura has brought up and have really, you know, kind of ignited the spirit, you know, especially in regard to this whole second renaissance and, you know, kind of how things have changed in the last few years.
Oh, absolutely. And don't you both feel that we need to have... or that it's important to have people who are aware and awake in this period that can help to provide guidance to others for empowerment. Because as the old systems collapse, I thought they would have collapsed a long time ago, but they seem to be dragging on till the last moment. And I guess nobody knows how it's all going to work out, but it does appear that they're in the process of dissolving sometime in the next year, possibly two. And it's going to be important to have people who know what's happening and who understand the dynamics of what's going on behind the scenes, not only astrologically, but in terms of the Earth control system, the system of control and domination.
Yes, well, the people who have awakened, you know, who have been awake prior to April of 2015 was where I would calculate it to, are really the builders of the Second Renaissance. And when I say that, what I'm talking about is the spiritual revolution that's underway in order to realign humanity with its true nature and align it with goodness and to dissolve negative archonic forces that have predated humanity and are the ultimate wizard behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. And so it's an important job, and those people who have been awake, you know, their mission has been to prepare themselves to undergo the trauma of awakening, because it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that we have attempted to empower ourselves in preparation, and now all that is happening. And when I started talking about the Second Renaissance, and I identified that April 18th, 2015, which was the new moon in Aries, when you follow the natural cycles of the sun and moon and not a Gregorian calendar,
uh-huh.
you get back on time with life, and you can go with the flow of time instead of against it. And so when the Mahavidyas were instructing me about what the year was going to be about, the Sabian symbol that was the energetic, the overall energetic, in effect, all last beginning April last year until just April 7th this year, was the music of the spheres, and it is the it's a complete reset, a recalibration. And it was that it was because of the new moon prior to that. It was a delineation. The new moon prior was the new moon in Pisces, and it was the very last degree of Pisces on an eclipse.
Oh.
And so it was turning point. It was a marking point in time.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't have any idea that so much was going to start coming down and so much truth was going to start coming out. I thought it would be like slow, like it has been,
right.
Not
right.
So.
No,
and
it
now,
does seem like a deluge.
Indeed. And so now, April 7th, we began the new solar lunar year and the Sabian symbol energetics for that. And by the way, for any people or new listeners listening, the Sabian symbols are a code. They are an energetic code that basically describes the code of life. And they are symbols or images, archetypal symbols attached to each of the 360 degrees of the zodiac. And is why the Oracle Report is accurate. Because I read the code and I've followed it for a while, so I understand a little bit about how it unfolds and how it affects us because it is frequency. And we are now this year in the Sabian symbol energetic of the magic carpet of Oriental imagery. And so we have the genie out of the bottle, don't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope so.
Well, yes. Well, it's fast. It's very fast. And it's truth. The truth is just, you just can't contain that anymore. Anything or anybody who is aligned with operating from a place of integrity and with all that's good and beautiful about life
mm-hmm.
and nature is rising. All that is only going to get better. And those
mm-hmm.
people who are operating in shadow in service to self and against their fellow human beings
mm-hmm.
Are not faring so well. And this is going to continue. This will be the trend. And I estimate, according to instruction with the Mahavidyas, that we have about four more years until a good majority of the archontic energies, the negative energies that are influencing humanity, are dissolved enough to where we recognize it. And, I heard James Gilliland said that we will know that we've won this when there are no more chemtrails. And I thought that for a while, too.
Right.
I mean, I wanted to bring up an example, as Laura was saying, how it's all about truth and how transparent things have gotten. I take a look at some of the I guess you call it news. It's what they report on in the lamestream media. But the subject specifically in the last few months of the Zika virus.
Oh.
And I've got an amusing story I'll tell a little bit in regard to an email I received from Dame Hillary Clinton about it.
Oh, okay.
But what I consider it, where it's transparent, is they started talking about it about 3 months ago. And they said, there's this weird Zika virus out there, and they're blaming it. It started in Brazil. It's spread by mosquitoes. But at the same time, hey, guess what? All of the women there also got vaccinated with this new vaccine, so they're not sure what's causing these babies to die and have encephalitis and all of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, lo and behold, they latched onto Zika as the more fun and interesting and important story, and it has slowly become, guess what? The CDC has now decided that Zika is definitely responsible for it.
Oh, of course.
And what I think is funny is I don't know anybody who actually believes it.
Right, right.
I mean, and it is so transparent. It's been so badly rolled out, and I think that is more and more how all of this is going to this is kind of showing what's going to happen. People, they're going to try to tell these stories and tell this crap and throw it on us,
mm-hmm.
and people see it for what it is.
Well, that's like the children's tale about the emperor with no clothes.
Exactly.
So, and I think, many of us have been awake, for some time now, and we've seen the nakedness of our politicians for decades, wondering
exactly.
When is everybody else going to wake up and see the corruption and that they're the biggest criminals on the planet. Well, not the biggest, but they're among the rest. They're
all
together.
Part of it.
They're all part of it. It's a big family. So they work together, and that's one of the reasons why it's not better known, because it's compartmentalized and we're kept kept full of propaganda, and the truth never gets out. But as you said, Laura, that's changing now, and it does seem that this is a tipping point. This is some kind of a tipping point this year. And you're saying about 4 years it's going to take for the negative force, because it does seem that there's this this ongoing escalation of military development, because it's so profitable, and the wiping out of humanity seems to be even more profitable. So you've got Big Pharma, you've got the medical associations and businesses, you've got the corporations working together. And they all want to make their little dollar off of us, but there's not much left that they can drain out of us. And so then you throw transhumanism and nanotechnology into the mix, and you've got some pretty strange things coming up in the future. So
Yes, you know, we're 1 year into that. So last year I had said 5 years before, you know, we had a noticeable, you know, where there was a lot of that. Eliminated a lot of that, dissolved out that negative energy. But what's happening now is it's utter chaos within the ranks of the Illuminati, and we have, it isn't just Rockefeller versus Rothschild. It is Rockefeller versus Rockefeller, Rothschild versus Rothschild, and they're in chaos and disarray, and their plan is out the window because they can't control the amount of chaos that's coming. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do? They try the same old things that they always do. You know, the divert, divide and conquer, watch the pretty shiny object over here.
Right.
And a lot of ritual. And we might even just take all of the fear and all the connotation out of that word and just call it imprinting.
Yes.
Because ritual is just imprinting onto energy with intention.
Yes.
So we began this new year on April 7th. And so between April 7th and May 6th, that lunar month is what we call a solar lunar new moon phase. It's a month-long new moon, basically, if you broke that out into a year, if you tried to break all the phases into a year,
okay,
all eight of them. And that's the time of year that magicians, shamans, Illuminati, whatever you want to call, anyone who understands frequency and energy knows that the best intentions are set during the new moon cycle.
Right.
And it's a new intention. It's a new beginning. And then that the intentions that are set during that month are revisited throughout the year, because, and especially if you continue to put more thought or energy into them. This is all, you know, really, I guess, like, there's a lot of magical thinking behind this and all, but truly all it is energy applied in a certain direction through focus, through concentration. So what happens during the new moon cycle is a lot of ritual. And so anything of any kind of program or operation or agenda that they want to forward, they will flood into consciousness through media and, you know, all the other outlets for mind control, things that are ritualistic to them. So there is nothing that, I wrote this a few days ago, no world player, no one on the world player scene within the cabal, anything that they are doing right now is ritualistic.
Mm-hmm.
It means something. And so there's a reason, and the question I'll, you know, try to really apply with the Oracle and to help people understand and discern for themselves is, why now?
Mm-hmm.
This is where the astrology really comes in, because that's what answers why now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do it when it's the optimum time. Why? Because these are the codes of life. They're natural codes of life. It's the frequencies of energy. In the Sumerian, they were called the tablets of life. And so when you have an ephemeris, meaning a table of where the planets are at any given time, and you know wherever they're at, what energetic they're discharging in the electric universe, then you understand a lot. That's powerful. Okay, you can use that information to manipulate people. Well, my counter to that is to use the information to empower people. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, Lance, this is what we're about, to connect with Second Renaissance and empowering the totality of humanity, because we all evolve and go together. We all rise up together. No one's left behind. That seems unbelievable to us at this point, but not at all when you consider that archonic forces are just fleeing, you know, in mass, and leaving this because they have to. They can't really sustain within the higher energetics that we entered April 18th, 2015.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, he's passed over, but he always said he was going to be on the right hand of God cutting down sinners with a scythe. And I thought, oh my, that's a dramatic image.
Sounds like a Sabian symbol.
Yeah, so maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he's getting those archons.
You know, next month, the Taurus cycle, the Sabian symbol is symbolic battle between torches and swords. The Mahavidyas indicated me early in January that this was going to be a pivotal month. So I've been expecting some activity. Probably some aggressive activity, some conflicts. And really all we need to do is look at what's been in play over this month since April 7th to see where they're lining up. And so where they're lining up, one thing with the currency, with everything, with Hamilton and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
All of that with the play, and then... who is it? J.M.W. Turner. They're going to put on in the UK on some currency, and he was all Illuminati. I mean, that was just, you know, you could research that a little bit and learn more about him. He had some high level teachers, but it's all right out in the open. What's really getting crazy about this now is how silly and it's such a dark comedy about how this stuff looks now with ritual, because once you know their symbology, which, you know, pretty much with the culture, with the pop culture, just, you know, embracing all of the Illuminati imagery, it's just starting to look rather pithy. And I give an example. I was telling Andrew about this. A couple of weeks ago, I returned to the Washington, D.C. area where I moved from, and a bit of a field trip. It didn't start out that way. I intended to visit friends, and then soon became a field trip with the Mahavidyas instructing me in multiple ways. So I have to tell this story quickly because I think it's an empowering story.
Okay.
About humanity and how we just are able to see through what the Archons and their Illuminati minions are up to. So there is a new development in the D.C. area at National Harbor. So this is the Maryland side of the harbor. And there's a Ferris wheel, a giant Ferris wheel. And at night, it's lit up neon, and it strobes, and it flashes, and it's, you know, mesmerizing. And, you know, basically don't look at the Ferris wheel, because if you know what, because it's, I mean, if you could see it, and you know anything about, you know, the way flicker rates operate, and, you know, have what that does to the brain, you immediately turn away. But that's not where it ends. You can walk the whole area, and it is nothing but symbology and Masonic symbology and strange, like Denver Airport mural strange.
Huh.
Well, along the harbor, if you take a little stroll, you come to this little gazebo with a Stonehenge, the lintel. Mm-hmm. And the sight line to it is directly to the Ferris wheel. And if you could see this, if I could give you an image of this Stonehenge, this hinge, do you know the movie This Is Spinal Tap? It's the black comedy, a satire of 80s hair metal bands.
Huh.
Oh, I know it well, and anybody who hasn't seen it, definitely go and see it. It's just actually Rob Reiner's first movie ever made, and it's shot as a documentary of this hair metal band from the 80s, Absolute Scream.
What's the name of it again?
This is Final Tap.
But you can go to YouTube and you can... Yeah, you can get the clip of Spinal Tap and the Stonehenge song. And so the Spinal Tap, you know, they're trying to be all Ozzy Osbourne-ish and all macabre and wicked, and they're singing about druids, and all the smoke comes up, and then all of a sudden they look up into the air, and here it comes descending, and the smoke is this Stonehenge. And then the elves come out, the dwarves, and they're three times as tall as the Stonehenge. And it was the first thing that I thought was when I saw this Stonehenge, because it was just pathetic. I mean, it's just the pithiest thing. You know, it's like, seriously, this is the best you've got? Then you walk around and just the imagery all over the harbor there. It's planned to be a tourist destination with a casino coming. And, you know, just what it needs. It's an interesting place to study, and I don't know I haven't looked online to see if anybody's done any, taken any pictures or shots from it or talked about it. But if you go to D.C. this summer, hop on over to National Harbor and look at this is the best they can do. It's the pithiness of it. It's really the best word. I mean, really, they've got... It's just old news, and it just does not work the way it used to.
Huh. Well, of course, we know that there are numerous energy devices all across the globe that are used in plain sight, that are used to move our energy around, like Ferris wheels and space needles and obelisks, and they follow the ley lines, and a lot of them run through the royal buildings and through the Vatican and through Egypt. So somebody, you know, the powers that are taking or bleeding the energies off of us, have many ways of doing that. And some of the politicians that have been elected in the recent past have been very aware of what's going on and how the energy has moved around, because they draw on it.
Yes. Yes, there was a big banner on one of the buildings with the picture of the Ferris wheel, and it says "Experience the Wheel."
I'm trying to get off the wheel.
Yeah, we've had enough of the wheel.
Forget the wheel. We've been hamsters in the cage long enough. Let us get off this darn wheel of recycling and incarnation. I mean, it's been a massive. Process, and you know, I know that there are a lot of people who are out there who relate to that, who feel like they've been on this planet for a bajillion years playing the same old games, and they're just all so tired that I can't even imagine that the dark ones that are having any fun at it anymore. You know?
No, it's very obsessive too, because you know, once you start studying and seeing how they operate. Every little thing is calculated.
Oh, my God, yes.
There is nothing. It's an obsession.
Oh, yeah, yes. And then to control all the media and to hide all the underground bases and the, you know, all of the things, the connection to the extraterrestrials and the fact that they're here, that they're, some of them are underground, some of them are above ground. I mean, it's a Pandora's box that once it's open is going to be unstoppable, and I think it's going to take enough of us to, as a collective, to wish or intend this to happen, and then it'll be like the 100th monkey effect, and boom, there'll be this avalanche of information, and it'll just be, you know, out there. Although I would like to be able to refer to some kind of sources that I feel like I can trust, and there are just not many, if any, on the planet that I'm aware of.
Sources of truth?
Of our own history and what the multidimensional nature of humanity and the galactic battles. I mean, you know, you could go on and on about that.
Yeah.
But then, on the other hand, it would be nice to just, you know, beam out and beam into, you know, our own... new universe that is not made out of matter, and it's not of the material realms.
Well, Lance.
Yeah.
I think that Pandora's box has opened. That's what's happened this year. That's the magic carpet ride. Our job as those of us who are, you know, the spirit of liberty embodies us, it's our job to rise above it because we're on the magic carpet ride, and not just that, to transcend all the chaos swirling on the ground.
But
also to enjoy the adventure, because that's the point of life, is to experience and learn. And so always the message with the Oracle Report is, yes, we're watching all this, but we remember that what the real beautiful part of this is being in life, being in love with life, and being a part of it and outside in nature and returning our sanity that way. And so no one ever has accused me of being Pollyanna. And I, you know, didn't think that the music of the Spears last solar lunar year would ever, aggregate as much truth as it has. And it just really launched us into this year where by the end of this solar lunar year, 9/11 truth will have broken much wider into the 100th monkey syndrome. Donald Trump, I think, will forward that agenda. The chemtrails, that's going to come out fully now that what's happened to Prince, his death, because that was such a big part of his message. It's all going to come out. And it's going to start.
Vaccinations and.
Yes, vaccinations with facts, absolutely.
Yes.
So.
Good.
I was just going to say, could we have ever thought that all these things would have come out by April of 2016?
Oh, yeah.
I never would have thought it.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have either.
I was thinking the other example that was really big in my life was just reading Graham Hancock's newest book, The Magicians of the Gods. This is a man who, you know, he's scorned by mainstream historians because he just came out and basically blew apart their entire world history. And he did it effectively, and all of a sudden they all have to answer to the fact that they haven't been telling all of the stories of what the history of this earth is. He did it, and he's from the outside. He's not a historian. And it was just a major blow, and I've just watched it in academia where they're all kind of scrambling. Wow, my PhD and all of my dissertations aren't worth a whole hell of a lot because it's built on a house of cards that just fell.
Mm. Well, he has an amazing body of work.
Oh, yeah. And, his latest book just kind of blew it all up. And it's just absolutely, if you haven't read it, Magicians of the Gods was just an amazing read.
Yeah,
such
great work. He's truly been a hero of the truth movement.
Yes. But, so as you were saying, Laura.
Yes, as I was saying, Pandora's box. So,
yes.
So, and one of the reasons why it is such a Pandora's box is because the planet Uranus was conjunct the new moon in Aries on April 7th. And it was at the Aries point, which is the Sabian symbol of the boxer entering the ring. And so that energy is about rebellion and revolution and truth and freedom. And so the Black Moon and Eris and Uranus are all in play to bring the unexpected. We can expect the unexpected. And that's why things look a little bit, will feel even a little bit weird, because Uranus is just kind of a weird planet.
Right.
It rules all things weird. And so there's really like the weirdness, we've only just begun with that. but that is, I think, to know this and to know kind of the trajectory of things, I believe is empowering, because it gives us a sense of, okay, so looks like these world controllers really aren't in control anymore. What happens now? Well, that means it's us. That means we have the opportunity to craft the world the way we want it to be. And, we have great ideas about that. And so, Lance, when you mentioned that you started at your show as a labor of love, 10 years ago, that's really how Second Renaissance started. It isn't just starting now. It's been happening. And it was about that time, about 10 years ago, when my experience with the Mahavidyas, and then 7 years ago, me starting Oracle Reports. And that's what it's been. It's been a labor of love every day.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
takes 2.5 to 3 hours for me to write the report every day because I'm channeling part of it. It's halfway written by me and halfway by the Mahavidyas. But it is, I hope that it has been a beacon for people, and people tell me that it has. And
well, it certainly has been for me, and I share it widely. And I mean, there may be a day that I get blown away by the energies or something, and I'm not on Facebook or something. But I always check that first because it gives me some inspiration and grounding. And because you are tapping into the Mahavidyas, it feels like it's direct wisdom coming through you. And I just sense that, and you know, I get visuals and pictures, and just a general sense of what I need to look out for. And then, boom! My day is more aware and more awake if I understand the energetics and what not to do if I'm inclined to do something that's unconscious. And it's kept me out of some difficult situations and inspired me to rise above some things that I might not have.
Oh, how lovely! Well, that is such a wonderful compliment, Lance. Thank you. And grounding is something that I've really tried very hard to make the reports be, and that's because I use that so much in my professional career as a rape trauma counselor. Grounding is important piece of that. You know, it's so interesting that I feel like all of my experiences in life have, all of my different careers and things that I've done really have led me to this place in my life because I draw on a lot of it. And because the awakening that's happening to the truth is so traumatic, I have a special insight into trauma and how that works and the myriad ways that it can manifest. And so grounding is the true key with it all, of course, the healing that we receive when we connect ourselves with Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so that act of it takes us out of the swirl of things, puts us back or balances our mind. You know, I oftentimes will go back and read the report. Well, I usually read it later in the day, but I don't remember what I write. And especially when I'm trying to switch over, I'm trying, guys, down under, I'm trying to get back to writing the reports at night because that helps so that everyone in that hemisphere can have a little bit closer time frame there.
All right.
But when I was doing that consistently, I'd go to bed and I would have no idea what I had written. When I'd wake up and read it the next morning, I wouldn't know. So I use it just as much as everybody else
does. Oh, that's cool. I like that. Well, you know, one of the things that you brought up that you have been involved with, and this was in your bio that I didn't include, I wanted to mention it, is that you have directed a not-for-profit grassroots sexual assault crisis agency, and you've been a leading advocate for victims of human trafficking. So
I directed a couple of them.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Now, that's a global operation, as we know, and it's run from the top down. Have you seen that shifting as a result of the energy shifting around us on the planet?
No, that is not shifting, and that will be probably one of the last things to shift because it is so very lucrative.
Yeah.
And there are more slaves now than there ever have been in history, and they are valued less as far as a dollar amount than they ever have been in history. And it was very interesting to try to forward the anti-human trafficking movement. This I started about 5 years ago, and I'm not involved in it now. I do Oracle Report full time, But, you know, I was doing that outside of D.C. in Northern Virginia, which is, well, it's just pretty much the suburbs of D.C. And I had direct interaction with attorneys general, and members of Congress. And you would just be amazed at how controlled that issue is, even within the nonprofit world, because it's really the big secret. You know, it's child trafficking. It's about the last frontier that we can. The human psyche has a hard time going there. It has a hard time with sexual assault. You know, there's two things about me that I've noticed make people cringe, Lance and Andrew. I don't think you know this, Andrew, but the first one is from astrologers when they want to look at my chart. I have a rather daunting chart. You know, we're having a black moon transit of Libra, so that's affecting anyone's planets in Libra or Aries. Well, I have four in Libra and five in Aries, and so the black moon transit through Libra has, you know, it's pretty much been the whole time for me. But the second thing that would make people cringe about me is when I would tell them what I did, and I was a rape counselor. Boy, you know, faces you get with that, people can't really get there yet. But it's going that way. And, you know, it's one of the things that's so sad to me is how the feminist movement was hijacked.
Oh, yeah.
And you certainly don't hear Hillary Clinton, who promotes herself as a feminist. She certainly does not ever discuss the human trafficking issue because it is the issue as far as in that the feminist world. The other, you know, the issue, as you mentioned, Lance, is the eugenics transhumanism movement, which is so much bigger than anyone even realizes.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, with just a full frontal attack on all sides against our bodies and minds and souls.
Yes.
And all of that is coming out as well, all of with facts like Andrew mentioned. So, you know, things that we talk about now, we have a lot of hopeful things to talk about and a lot of light to look forward to, because this is just the beginning of this. That system is collapsing on itself. No one should be relying on that anymore. There's no reason to. You know, it's now about us making the world the way we want it to be, and that means starting small in whatever ways. Like you did, Lance, starting your show, like me, starting Oracle Report. When I had like 200 readers a month, I was like, this is great. You know, I couldn't believe it, and I never would have thought this would happen. And this will be—it's the same way for everybody. It's just about you have faith, and you have a mission, and you follow your heart, and you go, and you don't stop.
Absolutely, and I've noticed how the kids seem to be leading the way in many areas that they appear to be. Well, it says that some of them have remembered their incarnations in other lives recently, in other galactic systems, and they're coming in with this knowledge and wisdom, and they're just doing some phenomenal things. So, you know, they're not paying any attention to, you know, what the adults are telling them. And I suspect that the vaccinations, which may have a link to autism and some of the horrible things that are occurring with kids, are going to backfire and turn out to be some kind of blessing in disguise.
I think that's the way all of it's going to happen, and I think that's because Uranus is in effect.
Yeah.
It puts things the way it needs to be.
Exactly. And no matter what the dastardly deed is that's thrown at us, I was just thinking about this today. I mean, I've lived through, you know, 65 years of all these different things, and presidents being murdered, and, you know, movie stars and this and that and the other thing, and chemtrails now for 20 years, and vaccinations and fluoride in the water and this and that and the other thing, and GMOs in the food, and it goes on and on and on and on. And sometimes my head runs this whole list, and I think, and I'm still alive. And I have a terminal disease that I've had for 33 years that, you know, people aren't supposed to live from. So it's like, okay, that doesn't mean I'm going to live forever, like, you know, the kid in the movie, it was a James Bond movie, and he says, I'm immortal, and then he cracks into 1,000 pieces, so I'm not talking about it. But it does appear that if we're meant to be here, we're going to be here, and there's really nothing to worry about. And that fear, as you point out wisely, is not necessary, and it draws us down. And the best thing that we can do is experience joy, light, and love, and do those things which enhance that in our lives. And in that way, we are thwarting the system that we don't agree with, that we remove our intentions from. Instead of getting mad and raising our fists and trying to fight it and making it more real, we can simply be happy and joyful and develop our own lives, and that world will fall away of its own accord like an old scab.
Now, that's yes. The kind of talk I like to hear.
Well, I think that's happening.
I see it.
Yeah. We have so much of a trend going towards buying local, so much of a trend towards organic, and that will be the norm, you know, and it's just indicative. Look at the Walmarts. You know, they aren't even maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is really the main thing that I like to talk about is, okay, yeah, we can see all that, you know, going by the wayside, and, you know, yes, we're going to have probably some rocky road, which is why we need a magic carpet.
Mm-hmm.
We can rise above it. We know this is happening, and so we take steps, and we watch it happen, but we continue on, and we build the positive, that which has already been, that has withstood the, you know, the pummeling of the energies. And when the New World Order did have control, they don't have control anymore, but they did. Well, the Archons have had it for millennia. So
right, and don't,
you know,
don't you
now
feel
we
that,
get to see what
that this is an unprecedented moment in human experience, that we have not been at this place before. I mean, we've been through it over and over, but over and over and over, but not this jumping off point.
Not with the Gaia Sophia awake.
Right.
Okay, so she began to awaken during the American French Revolutionary time. And so when people think that the America, the United States, is over and that's a failed experiment or whatever, I say it's only just begun, and we've only had the first year of that. Now we begin the second American Revolution.
Oh,
that's
I like
a spiritual
that.
Revolution of liberty. Mm-hmm. You know, a good friend of mine and I were talking about, okay, where does this really go? Are we, you know, are we really looking at these capitalistic systems, and are we really looking at, you know, what is the Constitution and all this? And he was, you know, kind of down on the Constitution. And I said, in my opinion with that, we haven't even reached the pinnacle of what the Constitution can be, because the Constitution, or what civilization based on, or society based on a Constitution can be, and a republic, because the highest octave of that we know of, that has been existent on the planet, comes from the Iroquois Federation.
Oh,
the Native American.
Know.
That's what Jefferson based the Constitution.
Whoa.
Off the Iroquois Constitution. And so that's where we're aiming, okay? And that's you know, the word tribal has become a dirty word, and I don't like that, because tribal is beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it doesn't mean hive mentality. What it really means is it's living by the earth and living in connection with others in harmony.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So if we, you know, and that's really the way it should be, and it's about elected representatives that we hold accountable, and we put them there because they have exemplified the best qualities among us. All of this has been forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay,
very
so
nice.
So we are. It isn't the end of America, or isn't make America great again. It's continue the experiment.
I like that. That's, you know, that is really a fresh way to see things, because a lot of us that are, you know, have been involved with the New Age material have become kind of jaded about that whole subject, and you've just completely changed my point of view on it. You know, in just one instant, and that's how long it takes, an instant, to completely turn your point of view around. You just look at it, and boom, it's there. I wanted to ask you a question, because this involves the bookends of the period of time that they call Flower Power and the Love Generation, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that many astrologers have said that there have been seven... and I'm not an astrologer, so I'm just going to say it the way I say it. Seven alignments since, and that we're presently in the other bookend of the 60s playing itself out on another higher level or a spiral of that. And so technically we should be in that period of time when there's some kind of new infusion of energy for what was in the 60s, but on a higher level. Am I mistaken, or is that true?
No, that's absolutely true. And I would just add to that that the people born in the 60s, so whereas you were, you know, having a good old time, I suppose, Liz, in the 60s, the people born in the 60s, especially the latter 68, 69 with some certain conjunctions, were the ones that are activating now.
Oh, okay.
So the torch is passed from that generation to this one now. We were looking at the generation of Pluto and Leo with your generation, and then now the generation of Pluto and Virgo, and to some degree Pluto and Libra. Those born when Pluto was in. Pluto is slow. It takes a long time to move through a sign, so that's how we calculate generationally. So, absolutely. And then the ones that were born in 2005, 2006, that'll be the next one.
Oh.
Because they were born after the planet Eris was discovered, and they were born awake.
Ooh. Wow.
And fire, freedom, and truth. Yeah.
Wow. So
we have good things to look forward to. This is the time to be alive. Nobody should be wanting to ditch out now. It's getting good.
Yeah, right. And it does seem that a lot of people are checking out at this moment. I've had a lot of friends that have come close to death, and they've literally reached the end of the rope and been told, well, you have two choices. You can die or you can choose to live. And well, I see people choosing to live and just, like, thriving. It's like a miraculous rebirth. And it's so refreshing to see, because I can easily go down that horrible dark hole. And, I have had that happen for many times during my life, and I've had to literally reach some kind of turning point where I had to make a choice. And it happens periodically, and it's happening now. I'm in another one of those transitions. So I can see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that I know on a personal level that my own personal time frame has a window that is going to open wide to all kinds of opportunities. And it's just being able to hang in there long enough and know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and to not give up.
Yes, Lance.
I don't want to miss the party.
Right. Well, you've been forged as steel through all of those rebirths, and you and Andrew, I mean, I'm honored to be sitting around the fireside here with you, both of you, because champions of the sacred feminine, you both are spiritual warriors and defenders of women and children.
Oh, absolutely.
And both of you have demonstrated it, and it's such a pleasure. And it's the strength, the inner strength that comes through. And that's why, Lance, all these rebirths, all these years, all this time you've been awake. Beautiful.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, too, that I don't usually say this on the air, because it's not an issue, but, you know, I identify as a gay male, and I have been all my life, and I'm 65 now. And the funny thing is, I was just recently called some very horrible names publicly, and it kind of shocked me to hear that, and because I'm just the opposite. And I think people are going to begin to understand that there are people that we may judge. I try not to judge, but it's an ongoing effort. But there are people that we judge for certain things, and we need to recognize that they may be really quite wonderful people, and we don't know what their true story is or why they've incarnated, or they could be, you know, angels incarnate, or you know, messengers from another galaxy or whatever from the future. So we really don't know what's going on.
We know that they're an archonically infected human, that they're sick and is not in control of their mind. And so that's what we see. There's no judgment involved. It's, you know, sadness for that. But we also know that all that is being eradicated. And so there's no, you know, it's just a loss of will and of mind, and that's what causes it. And it's sad, but it isn't us, and it isn't real, and it isn't humanity.
Right. And so it's easy to see the illusion. Somebody told me something that I thought was kind of interesting, that there are as many people alive today as there have ever lived on the planet, which they were kind of hinting that everyone's here. And I thought about that, and I thought, hey, maybe that's true, that everybody that's ever incarnated is now here, and we're all ready to move this thing forward. So that's another positive way to see things.
It's like, yeah, the monkey arrived. Let's all go.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
want to stop washing potatoes.
I think December 21st, 2012 was the first time I ever recorded, and I said, it's a playground, everybody's invited, let's have a party, and it's kind of turned out like that, I think. It has not been easy, certainly has not been easy for me, and it has not been easy at Oracle Report, but like I said, you know, it just forges us stronger, and we continue, and we persevere, and watch the beautiful things unfold. I'm just thinking it's a very exciting time to be alive.
Oh, I agree with you, and again, I'm honored to be with both of you, and I want to thank you for coming on tonight. The hour has flown by on angel wings, and we've got just a minute or two left, so if there's any last thing that you'd like to share, or if you'd like to mention your websites and where people can find you, that would be very helpful.
Well, I'd like to say, Lance, thank you for having us on. I think this kind of format is one where, you know, Laura and I have talked many times, but I think that we want to kind of include other people let the story be told. I mean, last year we started the Parliament of Wise Owls call, and you'll hear more of that kind of thing in the future, because these talks are really getting to people and kind of waking them up. So thank you for allowing us this opportunity.
Well, it's my pleasure and honor, and I thank you both for coming on tonight. And everybody, go to type in the Oracle Report and check it out if you haven't. And find them on Facebook as well, and you can find out what we're talking about. And I did put in a plug for Jean Haynes' blog as well, because she's a wonderful and tireless worker for getting the truth out there. And you just type in Jean Haynes and you can find her too. So thank you, Andrew and Laura. I love you guys, and we'll talk again sometime soon, okay?
Thank you, Lance.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.